Kida, that means hello in Welsh. I'm in Wales, and this is the Tom Terrero podcast, episode 166. Cheers for listening, downloading it on iTunes or listening on YouTube. I'm sitting on a squeaky chair today. Forgive the squeaks. I'm not making sweet love. I'm sitting alone in a room with a microphone, holding something magical, something marvelous, something meaty in my hands. I'm looking down at it and I'm thinking, fuck, Tom, that is phenomenal. You know, it feels so good. You've waited so long for it and then you see it. It is 334 pages. It's a paperback book. It's my new book, Below the Belt, Secret Society Seductions. Hence the blatant promotion in today's podcast that I'm not sorry for. Because guys say, why do you charge for stuff? Why can't you give it away for free? That's quite Midlands, isn't it? Why are you charging for stuff? And I say, well, it's my job. This is how I make a living. I give most of it away for free on YouTube just by watching my YouTube channel and listening to these podcasts. You could teach yourself pickup. But I do have to make a living to put diesel in the van, to buy tea bags, to buy Guinness, to travel. So this is how I make a living. So today I shall be reading extracts from the new book. It's not just me trying to get you to buy it. I shall be telling you what it's about, giving you some extracts coming in your ears. And I'll be talking about the tour, the UK tour. I'm driving around the UK and Ireland in the Black Sheep Bandit Passion Wagon, that van that I bought and drove around Europe in this spring and summer. I cleaned it out today. So metaphorically and physically, it's now squeaky clean. It's been purified. Its sins have been forgotten and forgiven. And I'll be driving it first next Saturday to Dublin. I'll be crossing the waters to my Celtic brothers on Saturday, the 22nd of September. And we're going to meet at 7 p.m. inside O'Neill's. Now, I know there's a few pubs called O'Neill's. Obviously, it's Ireland. And this might be blasphemy, meeting in a chain pub to drink Guinness in Dublin, but I'm sorry, it's just a landmark. And the address is number 2 Suffolk Street. So we'll have a Guinness in there, and then depending on how many people come, we shall find another location or not. I'll put these addresses on my website, by the way, but that's O'Neill's, 7 p.m. Then the following day, after having crossed the Irish Sea, the Mersey? The Irish Sea. I will be in Manchester, once again in O'Neill's, for more sausage and Kilcannon. That's in the print works. So I'll put that address again. It's 7 p.m. Monday the 24th, I shall be in Edinburgh. Now, Glasgow has an O'Neill's, but Edinburgh doesn't. But it does have a Malone's. It's called Malone's Irish Bar. It's 242 Morrison Street. 7 p.m. we'll meet there, and then maybe go somewhere else. Tuesday the 25th, I shall be in Birmingham. In Broad Street, once again, in O'Neill's. Fucking hell, this is going to be an alcoholic tour. But I promise you I will have sobered up when I do the driving portions. 7 p.m, O'Neill's, Broad Street. Wednesday the 26th, back down in Cardiff. St. Mary Street, on the corner opposite the main train station, central train station, you have O'Neill's. Surprise, surprise, more Guinness. And Thursday the 27th, I will be in London, not with the van, the only stop not with the van, because I can't drive it into central London and I'm flying out after that. But once again, O'Neill's, the one in Chinatown, the classic PUA location on Wardour Street, just south of Soho. It's a good seedy venue. All of them 7 p.m. and all of the addresses are on my website. So you don't need to tell me you're coming, just come. Okay, just come along. And in the back of the van, fingers crossed, if they print and deliver to me on time in a big box, I will bring copies of this new book and I'll flog them out the back of the van. I've ordered 33, 35, I can't remember. So 5-ish copies per city available. Or you can order it today and it'll come in time for me to sign it. You can bring any other books to sign or things for me to sign. Maybe you want me to sign your sizable boobs. If you've got plastic titties, fantastic, nice and firm for the marker pen. So that's the tour before I fly to Mother Russia for a massive day game immersion. I'm going nuts once again. I've got my mojo back. The book is finished. I feel fueled up, ready for some hotties. You know, not just sevens in Middle Europe, but going to Mother Russia for the eights and nines and the mythical tens. I shall be there in October in a few different cities. Before it gets too cold in November, I shall be, as I'm always am for my autumnal pilgrimage with Captain Tim, I shall be in Japan, I think, for a couple of weeks. And then December, I haven't got a clue. Right, the new book. It contains not just egotistical lay reports, but far more fuck-ups and failures and blue ball stories and disasters and general travel disasters. The dark side of game, quote unquote, how day game and pickup gives you these super high highs and very low lows, the roller coaster ride of day game. And these are lay reports that I haven't published in books before. I kept them back because they're pretty filthy, and some of my family have read my other books, so I was thinking, fucking hell, I'm not sure if I want to publish these. But as I say in the prologue, because this is probably my last book of lay reports, I thought, fuck it, go out with a bang, literally and metaphorically. So, dirty lay reports from me. Also, lay reports from other hustlers around the world. I collated and collected and edited and have published 11, I think, lay reports by other day gamers that don't do this for a living. So it's more useful to hear from them than it is to hear from me, because these are guys that have just started or they've just done a few hundred approaches and they've got lots of naughty stories as well. In the appendix, also at the back, are the scientific studies or extracts from the scientific studies that support all this stuff. Because you might read the book thinking, these are just outliers, you know, not all girls are like that. But I quote from professors of evolutionary psychology, evolutionary biology, quoting the science of the secret society, why men and women cheat, non-monogamy, cuckoldry, sperm wars, all that stuff, that's at the back, as well as checklists. Let me remind myself what the checklists are. The first one is the secret society signals for horny girls on the street. The second one is approach invitations and indicators of interest on the street. The third one is day game intel gathering questions for the date. And the fourth one is lover guidelines for males inside the secret society. And then it finishes with a glossary. Okay, I'll read the foreword. When you're good, they never remember. When you're bad, they never forget. This book you hold in your grubby hands aims to be even grubbier. Not just for the sake of more squalid street hustle lay reports to puff up my already overblown ego, I want these accounts of my day game degeneracy across the globe to help kill off any residual nice guy beliefs you might still have about the real sex lives of women, plus give you access to this secret society world of filthy fun yourself before settling down too soon. Why do girls cheat? What is it about bad boys that girls are so drawn to? How can you keep sleeping with her without becoming her boyfriend? What's a proven way to get threesomes? How can you speed up your seductions to cut out romantic dating? What are the ways to bring out the naughty side of a good girl, quote unquote? How do you seduce a girl who's got a boyfriend or is married? We'll explore all these key questions and more through the prism of real-world day game lay reports from both myself and other hustlers around the globe. I'll underpin the seduction stories with scientific explanations from the findings of evolutionary biology to make sure you're up to speed on the bigger picture of why the secret society exists and how to gain membership yourself. Many of the stories in the collection I've previously not published because I was nervous about friends and family reading them and discovering the full extent of my naughty pickup adventures. Many had read my first few books and found them shocking enough. But as this is likely to be the last book of lay reports I release, then I thought I'd go out with a bang. Bodily fluids and all. In this book, I've also made a conscious decision to document the darker side of the player lifestyle, from rejections and dry spells to runaway egos and fuck-ups. If you want to be a member of the secret society and get lots of casual sex without the romance, then there's a price to be paid, even if it's not initially obvious. Hence the title of the book, Below the Belt: The Naughtiest, Rawest, Most Badly Behaved Torero Tales That Certainly Don't Abide by the Usual Dating rules. So that was the prologue. Let me have a sip of tea. My voice is knackered because I did 11 hours over 2 days of recording this bloody book as an audio. My first ever audio book. All right. I will read from chapter 3, which explains the title of the book. Chapter 3 is called Below the Belt Behavior. And it starts with a definition for the word libertine. Libertine, a person, especially a man, who leads an immoral life and is mainly interested in sexual pleasures. That's from the Merriam-Webster Thesaurus. Look up the synonyms for libertine or player, and you'll quickly realise that secret society males are painted in a very negative light. Rascal, cad, brute, caveman, swine, creep, scoundrel. Not exactly good Christian boys. The word libertine originally comes from the 14th century English meaning freedman, after the Latin libertus, which the Romans would call a slave who'd been set free. Shakespeare used it to refer to anyone who followed their own inclinations. However, by the 17th century, it became infused with a puritanical meaning about immorality and the sins of sexual pleasures. The antonyms for men not in the secret society are glowing terms: hero, gentleman, saint, role model. Those men that are faithfully monogamous boyfriends and husbands look down on or even detest those inside the secret society. Angry and judgmental at both the dual nature of girls, why isn't she slutty with me, and the guys inside who are getting no strings lover sex without investment. Thus the shaming of the society and its members. Looking at my own behaviour and the behavioural traits of other experienced players I've lived, travelled and winged with in field, I can't deny that there's a so-called dark side to having the ability to seduce hot girls. Much of what a pickup artist does could be seen as below the belt, quote-unquote, behaviour. Sleeping with girls who have boyfriends. Not calling girls back. Bragging about your conquests to other guys. Or even writing books about them. It's no wonder that upstanding members of the public with religious morals are shocked and outraged. I've made a lot of mistakes in my day game journey. Lots of rough edges had to be smoothed off. In the early days, I was like a bull in a china shop, taking things to the extreme by swinging from nice guy to egotistical asshole in an almost caricature-like way. Feeling like I had a point to prove after years of being bullied and hopeless with girls, I pushed things to the limit, not only with girls but with those around me. From 2010 to 2012, I still had a regular, stable job as a primary school teacher, and my work started suffering as I'd come in hungover or lacking in sleep after a date the evening before. I was no longer focused on furthering my career or earning more money. Everything quickly became about pickup. I'd be out on the bustling streets of London every evening after work and all the weekends, either day gaming or dating. With Wings, there was always competition. Who could get the most numbers? Who could go on the most dates? Who could get the most notches? Who had the hottest girls? This competition was both fantastic for pushing me out of my nice guy comfort zone and detrimental in that it raised our so-called dark triad traits. And then the box out says, dark triad traits. Psychologists group together three specific behavioural traits which charismatic, dominant, persuasive people show. Having met, lived, travelled and winged with most of the world's top day gamers and pickup artists, it is my belief that those males inside the secret society all have raised levels of the three dark triad traits. Number one, Machiavellianism, the manipulative and charismatic skills of all hustlers. Number two, narcissism, the inflated, grandiose ego that is central to an unshakable frame. And number three, psychopathy, the ability to remain ice like a pimp through selfishness. By definition, a cad or libertine doesn't play by normal societal rules. They're the anti-heroes of our collective conscience, because this rule-breaking and freedom comes at a cost. Standing out means not blending in. Getting your own way means ignoring others' demands. Doing your own thing means detaching yourself from the wants of others. A long-term PUA has to be selfish, by default. He doesn't settle down in one place or with one girl. He goes for what he wants and perfects how to get it. Learning the pickup skill set is exactly that, improving your frame, standing up for what you want, not being the nice guy doormat. The same techniques that work with gaming girls, such as breaking rapport, qualifying, leading, dominance, spill over into all your interactions. It's not only girls that start calling you an arsehole and a jerk. Hang on, I need another bit of tea. I hope you're enjoying this and you're not in your pants having a wank. Maybe you're at the gym. Who knows? And I continue. Quitting my school job in 2012 and becoming a full-time day gamer raised the stakes even more. Now I didn't just have a point to prove with Wings and Housemates, but with the entire internet. Making your passion your business is a double-edged sword, in that you get to immerse yourself in the thing you love and get paid for it, but now the pressure's turned up to the max. You're suddenly a performing monkey. Guys are literally paying to watch you do your thing on the streets. You're getting fan mail in your inbox and being recognised out and about. Now you're getting a buzz not just off the day game, but the recognition for doing it too. Fame, even on a micro niche level, amplifies the dark triad traits, which in themselves are needed for the initial fame. As the following seduction reports document in the book, things can very quickly spiral out of control. All right, that was a little bit from the book, and hopefully you know what the secret society is. I skipped over that today, but no, it's not a literal thing where you can apply and it's got a secretary and you get a membership card. Some guys in seminars have asked me, what's the email address for the secret society? No, it's a metaphor for the true nature, the true sexual nature of men and women. And I made a podcast on it. If you're in the dark, it's podcast 52. It's still one of my favorite ones. On the meaning of the secret society and this 1% of guys, or whatever you believe it to be percentage wise, this percentage of guys that are getting sex for free as the lover. They're not the provider. They are getting sex as the cad, as the player, as the traveling, wandering nomad. Yeah, they are not negotiating sex with the girl. It's sex based on desire rather than duty. All of this is classic biological stuff. Again, you can read the biology of it in the appendix, and you might know the phrase alpha fucks, beta bucks. And you're sitting there listening to this podcast thinking, am I in the secret society? Well, in the book, I've got some lists and indicators of if you're in and out, but you've got a gut feeling about it, you know. And I say, are you in control of your sex life? Are you sleeping with a number of younger, hotter girls when you want to, i.e. you haven't settled down? Does the sex with a new girl occur on the first or second date? You know, it's fast, passionate, quick sex. Or is she using sex as the carrot on the stick, as the bartering tool? Are you single or in an open relationship? And you're having sex with girls without promising to be or are being their boyfriend? Key secret society tell you. Are some of the girls in your rotation with boyfriends and partners and husbands, and they're just coming to you for the lover sex? Are you not doing the romantic things, you know, the couple-y things, the cinema and the walks and the picnics? Is it just about sex? Are you making sure the girls don't sleep over? Yeah, so none of that oxytocin cuddling. It's just lover sex. Are you not slipping into neediness and one-itis from seeing a girl too often, texting her too much, good morning, good night? Do the girls know, usually implicitly, by the way, but do the girls know that you've got other girls, or you've got the ability to have other girls that you're sleeping with? They know you're a player, yeah? Do the girls ask you or not to wear a condom? Sounds flippant, but it really is true that if you're in the secret society, that if you're doing all this player kind of sex, girls don't, and they often even take it off. If you've got one on, they try to take it off. There's biological reasons for that. You can read about it in the book. Is the sex you're having wild? Is it naughty? Is it based on domination? Is it fulfilling girls' sexual fantasies? Key part of the secret society in the book. And are the girls contacting you during their horny phase, their ovulating phase, when they're looking for lovers? They're primed biologically to sleep with lovers. If they are, if they come over at that time of the month, then yeah, you're in the secret society. Can you be in the secret society if you're married? Well, no, you can cheat on your wife, but that's only temporary access to the secret society. Yeah, she might have lovers on the side, you might have lovers on the side, but you're investing time and resources and commitment into the committed relationship. So no, if you're in an open relationship, yes, she's in the secret society. All women are in the secret society, as I say in podcast 52. She's banging other guys and she knows, she allows you to, you are, you're free to bang other girls. So yeah, that's a tricky middle ground situation that not many guys fulfill. Some guys glimpse it for a few months and then she gets jealous and tries to lock you down. But really, are you a single man? Are you a black sheep bandit? Are you a player? You'll know it or not. Are you pretending to be her boyfriend, getting the lay and then doing a runner, bait and switch? You'll know if you are. Or is it really no string sex? That's what secret society means. Anyway, to finish, I shall go over some of the secret society rules in the book, things you have to abide by if you want that membership card in the post, metaphorically. The first one is discretion. And I say the first rule of the secret society is that you don't talk about the secret society, a la Fight Club, yeah? And I say, I'm clearly breaking the rule by writing this book, but I'm aware that it's for a very niche audience. Discretion is key, especially when sleeping with girls who have a boyfriend or a husband. Even single girls need their good girl reputation maintained, not to harm their long-term partner possibilities. The second rule is subtlety. Communication between members is largely non-verbal. So, you know, that little glance or that special walk or just proximity or the subtext of human dynamics, that plausible excuse to be alone together. It's all under the radar, because if it wasn't, if it wasn't secret, all other guys, 99%, they would know about it and then it would fuck up this supply and demand. Yeah, the third one is lack of judgment. And this is key. You can tell guys online that are judgmental about girls' sexual freedoms. They're not in the secret society. I say those inside the secret society don't judge other members for their sexual freedoms and casual hookups. They get it. It is those males outside the secret society with puritanical ideals that sexually shame and get angry with the true sexual nature of women and men. Number four, sharing is caring. Feel free to share your girls with Tom Torero on the UK tour. I say non-monogamy is at the heart of the secret society, and it's very normal for girls who are friends or colleagues to all sleep with a male in the secret society, either separately or together in threesomes, foursomes and more. Men in the secret society also can share girls in their harems, but this is less common, as I go into in the book. Number five, I say don't get clingy. Clinginess, neediness, telegraphing too much interest, mate guarding, all these are signs that a male's lover status is slipping. Other secret society members will quickly eject such a male. Mate guarding is for providers, not lovers. And the last two rules, I say show, don't tell. You can't convince girls you're in the secret society by telling them. I know some guys that go around telling girls that they know about pickup, they've read the game, I know how female dynamics works, and trying to logically persuade a girl's forebrain to let them access their emotional, sexual hindbrain. It doesn't work. I say you can't convince girls you're in the secret society by telling them. You can only gain entry through your behavior. Girls are extremely good at sensing which males are in or out based on these rules. Yep. And the last one is to confuse outsiders. It's in all members' interests that those males not inside the secret society don't know about it. So this podcast is fucking it up for a few thousand people. But anyway, my gift to you. Girls will hide their true sexual natures from 99% of guys in order not to harm their chances of settling down later. Men outside the secret society usually have purity fantasies about women as fragile, vulnerable angels that need saving. And women like this. Women promote this. Women want to sort the wheat from the chaff. This is how they do it. Women are intentionally confusing. This is why guys who are not very good at game and pick up, they say, God, I just don't understand women. Women say one thing and then they do another. Different women behave differently. I just don't get it. It's a mystery. Whereas the player says, no, She's not different. This scenario is not different. The hard wiring's the same. Patterns are the same. You see it over and over again. Shit tests are the same. The way she's wired physiologically is the same. Different countries, different nationalities, different girls in bed are the same. And guys that lack experience with that will say, no, she's not like all the rest. She's different from all the rest. Not all women are like that, etc., etc. And it's frustrating for them. Yeah, they have to pay for something that the 1% of guys in the secret society get for free. Therein lies the frustration. And I finish that section by saying, breaking of these rules means the termination of a man's secret society membership. Just because you've gained access doesn't mean it's a lifetime membership. So whereas women are in the secret society, and in the book I explain why gay guys are always in the secret society, for guys, you have to work hard to get in, and it can slip away. If you stop cold approaching, if you get clingy, if you get one-itis, if you get rusty, if you're flooded with oxytocin, if you're under the thumb, or if you've been a quote-unquote natural, let's say in your college, in your school, you're on the football team, and then you're removed from that ecosystem, you think, what the fuck happened? Where did all the pussy go? Because you weren't sure how you got it in the first place, and so you can't get it back. Or it's even like a celebrity. A celebrity in a boy band, he might be drowning in pussy for a few years, and then the fame goes away, people don't recognize him, and he just thinks, fuck, I can't get laid anymore. You know, the girls are just not knocking on the door. Or a male model loses a bit of his looks and he can't get laid anymore. Or a guy at the top of some kind of ecosystem pyramid, maybe he was a diving instructor, or maybe he was just an English teacher abroad. He was getting pussy then, but when you take him out of the ecosystem, it dries up, quite literally. So yeah, just because you've been in the secret society, just because you have been a day gamer, you've been a successful day gamer, doesn't mean that it will automatically last forever. You're only as good, as I said last time, as your previous lay, or your last few lays, or this year's lays. But anyway, coming up to half an hour, I think. That was enough upselling, a whole podcast of upselling, but I hope inside this podcast you got more of a glimpse of the secret society and what I mean by the highs and lows. But anyway, you can buy a copy. I'll sign a copy if you're in the UK and Ireland. Remember, Dublin on the 22nd, Manchester 23rd, Edinburgh 24th, Birmingham 25th, Cardiff 26th, and London 27th, all at 7 p.m. and all of them outside or inside O'Neill's, apart from Edinburgh, which is Malone's. All that information is on my website. I promise you, no more selling from next week. There's nothing else in terms of products this year. So, back to normal conversation about street hustling. Until next week, I shall say goodbye.